Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
I'm not so sure that I am, actually. please, in advance, forgive me if A, my voice goes, or I just have to stop and pass you on to some homework I've got for you. Have you got that, one of those? Yeah, this is more or less for you to take home, not to read now, so please turn it over and be very good children and don't look at it until I ask you to. That would be great, thank you. I want you to take you for a moment back to an RAF camp in the 1950s in bleak but beautiful Yorkshire. I spent a week there doing a course, and we were allocated, those of us on the course, to a flight sergeant. He was benevolent, I'm sure, very strict, and he had a very simple teaching method. He said, "This is the way I'm going to do it. I'll tell you what I'm going to tell you, then I'll tell you, then I'll tell you what I've told you." And that was his method. He worked in threes. And that sounds a good sermon principle, really, doesn't it? So I'm going to work in threes this morning. And you'll see the pattern as we go. First of all, 3 points that we're going to look at in general. The first is all about Advent, as you would expect. The second is to do with John the Baptist. And the third is what Jesus expects of us today in the light of Advent and all that followed it. We call it the church age, the age between the first Advent and Jesus coming again. So I want to get straight on so that if I have to cut things short, I will have got most of it in. I hope, anyway. At least you have to excuse me while I keep doing this. Advent comes from the Latin, doesn't it? Advenio or advenire, meaning to come to. And that's the context for the whole of our thoughts today. But I want just to make 3 short points about Advent. And you'll be familiar with it all. It's not new. First is that in the first Advent, Jesus came to us as promised, as the means by which God would bring to a climax his salvation plan for the world, a world which had been made beautiful for his people, but they'd messed up. They destroyed it, or at least destroyed the principle on which it was, for which it was built, and made for them, and they'd made a mess. And the world, although it was brought to order out of chaos, it was retreating back into chaos again because of the waywardness of those who were living in the world. And so God inaugurated a salvation plan. God gave his word, and then he fulfilled it. And that's what we're celebrating in Advent. Jesus was promised, and ultimately, in due course, with God's perfect timing, he came into our world. In obscurity, first of all, as we know, at Christmas. But that was just the beginning of the unfolding of God's salvation plan, which is not yet complete until Jesus comes back again. But we know the story. The baby was born in wonderful circumstances, yet humble. Surrounded by angels and by those who loved him, although in poverty. And he grew up in obscurity too. And then in the due time, he came into the open at the announcement of John the Baptist. And so unfolded his ministry of 3 years on our walking on our streets and living our life. I'm so sorry about this. I can't do much about it. Are you okay with it? Mm. Please feel free to cough away. He came as promised, did Jesus. And as we know, I haven't got time to go into detail, but he lived our life. He shared his life with his friends. He lived until, of course, he was arrested and crucified, having committed no crime or sin whatsoever. He rose again, victorious over death. He ascended back to his Father, and in due course, the promise of the Holy Spirit being given to the world came about as Jesus had said it would. The promise of the Holy Spirit was to be more than water baptism. It was baptism of power and of purity. So that was the unfolding of the plan until Jesus returned back to his Father. But we're left in the in-between stage between then and the promise soon or later to be fulfilled, in which Jesus will come back again. And we're waiting and we're watching in expectation. Jesus says we're to be ready for that coming. But there's a health warning that comes with that, and I'll come to that in a little while. Health warnings. So that's a quick summary of Advent. I'm stuttering along and shortening things as I go, so I hope you'll stay with me. The second thought I want to bring to you is about... I don't know how long I'm going to be able to continue with this. I might have to set you the homework earlier than I thought. John the Baptist, what has he to say to the church today? We haven't got time to dwell on this very long, and Wallace unpacked a lot of this for us last week from this same Matthew reading. But there are pointers for the church today, I think, in the ministry of John the Baptist. The first thing for us to learn from John is that he had a very simple yet profound, straightforward message. A message that was relevant to the people of his day and is just as relevant to the people of our day and to us. Believe in the message that he gave. He said it's to repent and to turn from their waywardness and to express their change of life through baptism. Baptism, I don't know whether you've looked at this, the meaning of the word before, but it means to overwhelm or saturate. And John is saying to the people, you need to be cleaned, to be cleansed. And water baptism, I can do that for you. And you can go through that as a sign of the change that's come about in your life. But there's one coming after me who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with power and with fire. That will be something that I can't do, but he will be able to do in due course. So a simple, straightforward message was John's way, and I'm sure that's the way for our church today. Straightforward, profound, relevant. Also, he lived a very simple lifestyle. And surely we, as Wallace was saying last week, need to express a difference between our standards and the standards of the world. Sorry, not our standards, they're God's standards, aren't they? And then one of the ways in which we can do that, excuse me, I hope you're not embarrassed by my coughing. Please don't feel too sorry for me. I'm okay, really. Yes, do feel sorry for me. But a sinful lifestyle is going to speak volumes in a world that's used to image and indulgence and is working its way to its own destruction if things go on like that going on today. So a simple lifestyle, and surely we are the ones who should be expressing that in our lives today. And thirdly, John spoke about saturating the saturation of the people of God with power and with purity through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus would ask his Father to send the Holy Spirit to a church lacking in power until it's baptized with the Holy Spirit. The third thing, that's about John the Baptist, and I've cut that short as well. The third thing is, what are Jesus' expectations of his church today in the light of its expected return? I think I'm going to just say two or three more sentences, and then I'm going to refer you to this, and I'm going to ask you to look at this for a few minutes. Is that all right? You can see I'm struggling, and you're going to be struggling in sympathy for me, I think. Jesus expects his church today in the church age to put into practice a number of things which will draw attention to the salvation plan that he instituted in Jesus, and he will complete with Jesus' return. First of all, Jesus gives us new life, and then he gives us the power through the Holy Spirit to live it out. But one thing he certainly hasn't given us, and this is the health warning, is the luxury of hanging about waiting for the coming of Jesus a second time. He's given us things to do in the meantime. In fact, he's commanded us to do them. And I want to just draw, before I run out of voice completely, I want to express this through three commandments Jesus gave to his friends. The first was the commandment, which he called the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all, you know the rest. Think it, saves me saying it. And your neighbor as yourself. That's the first and the greatest commandment, Jesus said. Get on with that in the meantime, in the church age, while you're waiting for me to come again. He said to his disciples, I've got a new commandment as well, that you love one another in the same way that I've loved you. I want you to get on with that, because if you do that, people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. So love God, love your neighbor, and in learning to love your neighbor, you have to learn to love yourself as Jesus loves us, because he said, love your neighbor as yourself. It's very hard to forgive yourself some of the things that you may have damaged you in the past. But God says, come to terms with that. Learn how much Jesus loves you, and then love your neighbor with the same love that you have been loved with. Two commandments there. And the third commandment that I want to bring to your attention is Jesus' final one. As he was going back to his Father in glory, what did he say? He said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'll be with you to the end of the age. So we have to love God and our neighbor first. We have to love one another. Do you know that? That is really good, isn't it? That we need to learn to love one another in a way that shows the world that we're the disciples of Jesus. And we have to go out and tell them what we've discovered about the love of Christ for us and make disciples. I have a real passion to see people come to faith in Christ. I want to tell them and I want to show them what Jesus has done for me. And you want to do the same, I'm sure. But we can do it so much better. Excuse me. So much better if we do it together. That if we have a united way of showing the world, showing our community, the one we love and the one who loves us. We've got a wonderful, wonderful opportunity next year because we have a birthday to celebrate. Instead of expecting birthday presents, can't we go and give them out next year? Can't we let the people of our community and of our neighbourhoods, wherever we live, that can't we let them know that we're celebrating a birthday, but there's a better present that we can give to them. And that is to come to know the one who came to be the saviour of the world. That's not the way I was going to say it, but it's the shortest way I can find of saying what I wanted to say to finish. I had a story to tell you. I'll have a go at telling it you. Because I was wondering while I was preparing this who my neighbour was. We spoke to all our neighbours last year and invited them round for a mince pie and a cup of whatever, a glass of Christmas cheer. They all came, all 20 odd of them, and we invited. I know others of you here did the same. Do you know what I found? We were with people who've been living in that estate since the houses were built. And they'd never spoken properly to each other. They'd waved from their car. And we found ourselves, because we went round and invited the neighbours personally and got to know their names, we found ourselves introducing people to each other who'd lived opposite one another for 25 years but had never spoken. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And, do you know, they had a wonderful time. When are we going to do it again, they said. We've never had anything like this before. We've got something to give to our community and to show people that the love of Jesus makes a difference. Who is my neighbour? In the year 2000, we used to run, we used to be involved in running holidays for Master Sun, the Christian holiday organisation. And we went one year to Turkey. And while we were there, part of the time we were there, we went round the seven churches mentioned in Revelation. We came to Thyatira. And there was a young group of young people while we were looking around the ruins in Thyatira, the Christian church there. 14-year-olds, they came and spoke to us and said, "We're in our lunch break. Can we speak to you? You're English, aren't you? It must have shown. And we want to practice our English. We'd love to speak to you. Is that okay?" So we said yes. And we chatted with them. And we asked them questions like, "What are you interested in?" And kind of a bit about their homes and so on. They were all Muslims. But they were very chatty. Boys and girls. And I got talking to one called Gürkan Orta. And I said, "What are you interested in?" He said, "Well, I like football." He said, "But I want to be a doctor." So I said, "Well, we have a football team that you may have heard of near where we live. And we live in Leicester." "Oh, Leicester City," he said. Good. They hadn't won the championship by then, by the way. So, anyway, Leicester City. So I said, "Well, I tell you what, Orkan, if you write to me, I will send you some old Leicester City program, not old ones, you know, recent Leicester City programs. And much to my surprise, a few weeks later, he did. And I enclosed with them, I may have given him one earlier as well, a little illustration, the bridge illustration, do you know it? The way to life and the bridge being Jesus from death to life. I said, this is, you asked me what Christians believed. Well, this expresses it very clearly. Anyway, much to my surprise, some months later, just got home from church one Sunday, the phone rang. It was Gurkha. And he wanted to know about more programs. So I sent him some more, put the odd Tigers program in, and asked him on the phone how he'd got on with a little leaflet that I'd sent. Oh, it's fine, he said, very interesting. But I thought, well, that didn't get very far, did it? But to cut the long story short and to save my voice, several years later, he wrote me a letter and said, he opened the letter by saying, "Dear Tony, I want you to know that I've become a friend of Jesus." Isn't that wonderful? And he said, "It started when you talked to us in Thyatira and gave me that little booklet about the way to God through Christ." Who is my neighbor? My neighbor is the person who comes within my sphere of influence and the one with whom I can relate and speak to and have a passion to see them come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you know, I get excited about that and I never get tired of seeing it happen. And I want it to happen in my neighborhood and in my sphere of activity. And I want you to be able to share in that too. I'm sure you do share it. And I'm sure you've seen it happen in your lives. But we can do it so much more effectively if we are able to do it together than if we do it just entirely on our own. Because if we learn to love one another, people will see that we're Jesus' disciples and they will glorify him and be drawn and attracted to him. Now that's not what I wanted to say or how I wanted to say it, but I will close with just pointing you to this little sheet. Would you like some Advent homework? Well, even if you wouldn't, will you look at it, please? It's saying much more than I could say about the power that the Holy Spirit gives us to live the life that Jesus died to save us for. And it talks about the power of embracing the Holy Spirit into our everyday lives and circumstances, and of the wonderful things that he can do for us individually, but more especially even as his united people, the church in our community or wherever we live. Half of the people on our membership live outside Barton Seagrave, more than half. So we have a wider sphere of influence, don't we? Couldn't we make a difference and shine for Jesus in our 900th anniversary in a new and a fresh way? And the Holy Spirit here, please look up these references. Spend time allowing God to speak to you through them. And please, please, please have the vision and the faith to see that God can change our lives and circumstances and the lives of those around us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't do it, but he can do it through us. In fact, he needs us to be doing it for him and for his glory. I'm sorry I've struggled. I hope I haven't embarrassed you too much by my stuttering and spluttering. But to God be the glory. See the words through the coughs. Let's just pray to finish. Father, thank you for your wonderful word to us, expressed most relevantly in Jesus. And I pray, Lord, that you, this Christmas time, you'll not only give us a fresh vision of who he is and what he's done for us and what he can do, but give our community an openness to the good news as expressed in the lives of your people, of which we're a part. And we pray that you will give yourself the joy of seeing your Holy Spirit at work in our midst. We covet this community for you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you again for your indulgence.